You are listening to the Small Screen Podcast, part of the Invasion Radio Podcast Network. For pop culture and movie chat, check out the Popcast Podcast. And for insight on the hottest music, listen to the speaker box below. You can find all of the Invasion Radio podcasts at screeninvasion.com.
Hi, and welcome to the Small Screen Podcast, episode 49. I'm Crystal Bailey. I am co-founder, editor-in-chief at Screen Invasion, and I'm here with my co-host, Marcos.
Hi, everyone. I'm Marcos Canales. You can read my blog, smallscreenhappenings.com, and I also write for both thetelevixen.com and screeninvasion.com.
And this is the Small Screen Podcast. We get together and chat about all things TV, news, what we're watching, etc. So let's dig in to the news. A lot broke today, actually. The biggest, I guess, would be that Do No Harm was canceled after two abysmal episodes in terms of ratings, anyway. I can't speak to the quality of the show, but ratings-wise, it was pretty terrible. It debuted as the lowest-rated series premiere on broadcast, not in the summer, so, like, in the main season, like, ever. You know, below Lone Star and other infamous shows like that. What are your thoughts on the cancellation and the show? Did you even get a chance to watch it or anything?
Yeah, I never tuned into it, mostly because the Jekyll and Hyde concept of a lot of TV shows isn't something that usually draws me in, so it wasn't a premise that I actually cared about. And then I saw the debut numbers, and I was like, well, there's no real point in it now because the writing was on the wall. I mean, when you debut with a 0.9 demo rating and 18 to 49, that's abysmal, like you said. There's no justifying that. There's no – a show with that kind of number really can't survive, even in this modern day and age where lower ratings are accepted. And that's the only reason why I was kind of surprised, just a little bit, because this is the season where a lot of the broadcast networks are willing to give shows a little bit of a chance to establish themselves. I mean, this is the year that saw Mob Doctor run all 13 episodes. And the CW let Emily Owens run out its initial order. So a lot of shows that would have been canceled even a season ago were given a chance to at least finish everything up and give those few fans who may have tuned in a little bit of closure. So on that hand, I could have seen NBC cutting it a little bit more slack just because of when it debuted. But yeah, when you are out of the gate, pretty much DOA, you know, this is what happens. So
yeah, I mean, you can't keep that on. They're putting in, I believe, reruns of SVU or one of their procedurals, which, you know, makes sense because those ratings, like, advertisers are not going to pay for spots. Like, it cannot sustain itself. So, sucks if you are one of the handful of people watching the show, but it's just the way it goes. And then also another NBC show is having some troubles. Christina Applegate has, like, officially quit Up All Night today, another big news story. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think the show can continue on? Like, it will continue on. They're making it continue on. But do you think it can really, like, continue on without her?
This was out of nowhere, just because there is all the news that broke late in the year about NBC and Lorne Michaels and the production company going back to the drawing board and essentially revamping the show completely, turning it from a single-camera comedy like Modern Family to a multicam like The Big Bang Theory. And at that time, it was like the third revamp that this show has gone through since its inception. I gave up on it relatively early in its first season, so I'm not by any means distraught by this news, but I was a little bit surprised just because it felt like everyone behind the show really believed in it because they were trying anything and everything that they could come up with to keep it on the air. And part of that, I think, had to do with the name of the names on the cast. I mean, you had Christina Applegate, Will Arnett, Maya Rudolph, and the theory was NBC and the producers wanted to be in the league with those three people, so they were going to try to do whatever they could to salvage Up All Night. And so to hear that one of the main players is exiting on her own free will is a really telling sign of what that new process probably looked like and how it just was not going to work. And to me, at this point, NBC should just cut bait and just cancel it, because it's pretty clear that there are some creative differences on set, and it just seems like everything is working against the show, so there's no point in trying to revive it anymore at this point. So just if I were in charge of NBC, I would just say it's time to give up and move on.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like with all the changes, like Christina Applegate leaving, and like I believe the series creator left also, like since the changeover to multicam, it's pretty like clear that not everyone's on board with this change. It's probably not going to work. I'm just throwing that out there, given the way things are going. Like, at what point do you just say, all right, let's just end it and pick up a new pilot instead, you know? So I guess we'll see whenever it does come back, how it looks, like if it's anything even remotely close to the Up All Night that it was before. Who knows?
See, and even I'm still even curious if they're even going to bother, because there's some rumblings that they're looking at Lisa Kudrow possibly replacing Applegate in the main role. And by all means, this isn't the first time a main character has been recast, but the fact that it's in the middle of the second season after it was already revamped after an abysmal, horrible first season, like, I just don't get why they want this to keep going. I mean, what I did see of it, I mean, it was cute enough, but it doesn't deserve this kind of treatment, especially when there are so many other better quality shows that don't get five different times to get its stuff together, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's a testament to, like, the power of Lorne Michaels or just, like, how desperate NBC is, but it is pretty crazy that the show is getting so many chances, so many revamps, instead of just, you know, saying it's not working, nobody's watching, let's try something else.
Exactly. Because who knows, maybe Animal Practice would have been able to be better if it had six different shots to be a decent show. But no, we'll just cancel that show.
I don't know if anything would have made that show better.
you're probably right.
And then the last bit of news that I'm really excited about is David Walton was just cast in the About a Boy TV show. He'll be playing like the Hugh Grant type character. David Walton, if you don't recognize the name, you will definitely recognize his face. He just was on New Girl as Jess's boyfriend for a time. He was on Perfect Couples.
Bent.
So he's been on TV a bunch. Are you excited about him getting his own show? Hopefully. I mean, it's just a pilot, but still.
Yeah, when I saw the headline, I was really excited, and then I opened up the article and saw that it was from NBC. Which his track record with NBC has not been the greatest. Like you mentioned, he was on Perfect Couples, which lasted a season. He was on Bent, which lasted a season. So it doesn't give me a ton of confidence that NBC is going to be looking at this pilot. I'd be surprised if it doesn't get picked up to series, though, just because he is a name and a face that TV wants on. Like, they've given him a lot of shots, and hopefully this is going to be the role that sticks. And, you know, basing it off of property, even though it's like almost over 10 years old now, that could be a smart idea. Just the concept alone fits in with what NBC is trying to do in terms of its own rebranding. So this is a show that I could see potentially doing well with Go On or something like that. So yeah, I mean, I'm happy for David Walton. I like his work. I just want this to be the project that gives him some stability for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, he has been great in everything that he's done, even though it's been very limited. I really hope this can be a show that lasts beyond its original episode order, just because he is so funny and talented. And this seems like a good fit in terms of tone So it'll be exciting to hopefully see him on TV again.
And if not, he'll end up on another show as a guest star, because at least he's still working. We can at least say that.
Yeah, definitely. He is a consistent presence on TV, even without a standing show. So speaking of him, what I've been watching this week, the one show I want to talk about is New Girl. And the arc of the past couple episodes has been really exciting because, spoilers, Nick kissed Jess, even though she was dating the doctor, played by David Walton. And it's been kind of the two episodes was following like their chemistry and like if she would stay with him after the kiss with Nick and everything. And so I just thought they handled it really well, actually, because it, you know, the whole will they, won't they thing can get tedious and boring after a while. And so it was exciting to see Nick make that move. And it was a great like moment for fans because it was like such a like passionate like kiss. And then the following episode with the Indian dating service was hilarious. I thought like that's the other thing. Like it's great for these character moments, but the show is just so consistently funny for me. So I am loving it so far. Did you watch New Girl? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely liked the last two episodes. I will say that I didn't really care for the whole Indian dating convention thing just because I'm over Cece and Schmidt at this point. Like, I don't really care if they get together one way or the other. They're reaching Barney and Robin levels of indifference with me right now. Though, I mean, it did have some of its highlights. But getting back to Nick and Jess, I mean, I do think that they've handled it well so far. But my question to you is, does it feel a little bit rushed? Like, were you surprised that they went there in the middle of season two, or were you expecting them to possibly draw it out a little bit longer?
Yeah, you know, it does feel like it was a surprise, but I did like that, you know, because, like I said, the whole will they, won't they thing can get dragged out to the point where you don't care anymore, you're just over it, and so for them to basically rush into it, like, I thought it was really refreshing and different.
I tend to agree, and I do think that it's been well handled, but the chemistry between Jake Johnson and Zooey Deschanel is just so great that I kind of wanted to have that aspect, that build up, just a little bit longer. Regardless, either way, I'm enjoying the show. I'm still thinking that it's probably one of the best comedies on TV today. I just hope that they know what they're doing.
The creators, the writers, you know, have shown they can handle it. And with like previous story arcs and stuff, and so I think it'll be exciting to see how it turns out. And like you said, they don't necessarily have to get together immediately. Like she just broke up with the doctor. Like they're probably not going to jump into a relationship right now, but like the next episode. But it will be interesting to see just how everything plays out with them living together, with them being friends, with the other roommates, with Cece and everything going on. So. I'm excited to watch.
Cool. And really quickly, getting back to the doctor character, I mean, we all knew it was coming, but did his breaking up with her feel organic to you?
It did feel pretty abrupt, but at the same time, you know, he like never commits. He like, that was his whole thing. He was very upfront about how it's all just hooking up and seeing each other. It's not being boyfriend, girlfriend. And so the fact that he kind of took that step with her and then she kissed another guy. Granted, he like initiated it, but she still kissed another guy. So that's like a big slap in the face of his like big step that he took. So it didn't play out probably as best it could have, but I thought it was acceptable.
And I got all of that. It's just kind of like you were talking about his background and him as a character, and all of that made me think that he wouldn't have sweated a kiss that Nick instigated and that she didn't really return, even though she admitted that she did return. I mean, I guess the punch would have been sufficient, and then he would have been able to get past it. Because an episode earlier, he was actually egging them on to kiss during True American, which is a different circumstance altogether, because that's a drinking game and it's in the moment. But it, some, for some reason, that just never really tracked with me. It just felt like they shortchanged that character a little bit just to get him out of the way and get him, you know, to wrap up that arc. And, you know, now we're going to focus more on Nick and Jess and the fallout from the kiss, and he's no longer needed. So I kind of wish they'd make that work a little bit better, but I enjoyed his time on the show, and he played his role well, and he did what he needed to do to get us to this point. But, you know, I guess I wanted just a little bit more depth there.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was a little rushed. They could have drawn it out a bit more, but that's doesn't seem to be the pace they're going for. It does seem kind of like they want to rush things through and, you know, get to the meat of the Nick and Jess, like, tension and stuff. So it is what it is.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, so that's what I've been watching. I mean, I watched a whole lot more, obviously, but only wanted to talk about New Girl. What do you want to talk about that you've been watching this week?
Last week, I talked about how I was excited for the season 4 premiere of Community, so that's what I wanted to talk about, mostly because this is the new era of Community, as we all know about Dan Harmon leaving and being replaced by these new showrunners. And what I'll say is, while watching the episode, I could tell that something was off, but part of me wonders if that's because I was told that something was off, because some of the critics I read and listen to mentioned how you could tell that this was not the same Community that we were used to. And so maybe I went in expecting that and looking for the differences. And I probably would have done that regardless, just because I know some of the back behind-the-scenes drama. But there was something obviously not quite the same. And I was okay with that, because I thought that the episode itself was decent enough. But I think what was more entertaining than the show itself was just seeing all the fickleness of the so-called fans on Twitter, because some of the diehard Community fans were like, I hate this show now. It's no longer the show I loved. I'm done with this show, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, seriously? Come on. It was been one episode. Yes, it wasn't as brilliant as some of the other ones. But to be very honest, a lot of the episodes are more misses than hits, just to be brutally honest. You know, it's a fun show. It's a good show. It's not the greatest show ever created, so get over it. but it was just funny to watch how people were on the ledge now, because Community's different. and it also made me wonder, you know, and I'd be willing to bet that if we didn't know about what happened with Dan Harmon, I think a lot of these people would have been praising it as a brilliant episode, because it was making fun of the Hunger Games, and it was a nod to traditional television sitcoms with the multi-camera setups, and there was even a Muppet Babies joke. And so had this episode taken place 2 years ago, I would safely bet that a lot of these people would have been saying, this is genius, and I love it, and blah, blah, blah. But now that they know that Dan Harmon had nothing to do with it, they hate it. So, you know, I'm still excited that the show's back, and I'm still going to watch it and support it. But I'm not going to go off the deep end like a lot of the other people did last night.
No, like, I don't watch Community, so I can't speak for it for myself. But I definitely did see a lot of people saying it was an abysmal return. It was terrible. It was the end of an era. Like, very, you know, a lot of hyperbole being just thrown around. And, you know, that is that fan base. Everything, it like, before was, like, this is the greatest show ever. Six seasons and a movie. And, like, today is October 19th. And all of their, like, fervor and their, like organized fandom. Like, I love that in general. I love fandom. But, like, Community fans are crazy.
Exactly. I wasn't going to be the one to say it. I'm glad you did. Because
no, I'm going to say it. I said it because I have friends who love Community. I love my friends. And I very respected people love Community. But, like, they just get so into it and so invested. And to the point that I just don't understand it. And I'm somebody who, like, sent in Tabasco bottles for Roswell. I, you know, went to Arrested Development Save the Show events. Like, I'm a part of that craziness for other shows. But yeah, the community fandom, it's just so, so impassioned. And then also to like, and so like you said, the fact that like Dan Harmon was in it, it had all of this drama. I think people who are those diehard fans, you know, went in with those preconceived notions of like, oh man, the show was the best show ever and NBC ruined it by firing Dan Harmon. So I'm going to watch it. And yep, they ruined it. You know, they already were planning on it.
Yeah. And you bring up a lot of good points. And I'll be honest that while I like the show, the fandom is one reason that keeps me from loving the show. Because like you said, they're very impassioned, but some of them, not all of them, are complete dicks. Like, they will talk down to you because you don't love Community or you don't watch Community. And I've gone on a lot of different, you know, episode recap message boards, and just the amount of smugness that some of these fans project really turns me off. And so, you know, I think it's a double-edged sword because they're the lifeblood of the show. But in some ways, to some people, and again, I can't speak for everyone, but I wouldn't be surprised if their overabundance of love for the show is turning other people off because of the way they approach those who don't see this show in the same light. And, you know, fandom's a great thing. You know, I'm never going to say don't be fanatical about something you really love, but just don't be a dick about it. And, you know, and like you'd said, I think some people came in wanting to hate this episode, and I try to put it out there that they need to really know what happened instead of just reacting the way they have been, or some of them have been, because NBC didn't fire Dan Harmon. That's a big misconception. Sony Television did not renew Dan Harmon's contract. So technically, he wasn't even fired. He just wasn't asked to come back. Now, I'll completely agree that that should have meant that the show didn't come back. And I do think that season 3 ended on a high note and should have been a series finale. But it was clear that Sony wanted to keep it going for syndication money or for whatever reasons. And NBC wanted to be a part of that. So they kept the show going even though it shouldn't have. And 9 times out of 10, people are going to be grateful. But not Community fans. They're going to bitch and moan and complain about it. And that's their prerogative. But don't get upset when people start looking at you weird.
But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see like how the rest of the season goes. Like if people who tuned into the first episode and are like, oh, this is terrible, actually don't tune back in, because I believe the ratings were actually up a little bit from the end of last season.
Yeah, I mean,
because of all the buzz, you know, about, oh, is this going to be the same show? People catching up on it on Hulu and whatever.
Yeah, it did rebound. I mean, and that was surprising. You know, when I looked at the ratings today, I was a little bit shocked that it was actually, it actually rated better than not only the season finale from season 3, but also the premiere, which it's hard to have that happen nowadays. But maybe it is because some of those casual viewers or former fans wanted to check back in just out of curiosity's sake to see how much the show changed. I don't think a lot of those new eyeballs were brand new viewers, because at this point, I think Community knows who's watching it and who's not, and they're trying to appease their current viewers instead of trying to get new ones, because that ship has sailed. And maybe that bump in ratings has to do more with those people who've given up on it, hoping that it's recaptured some type of genius, or they just want to see a train wreck. So I don't think it's going to sustain these numbers by any means, and I'm more interested to see what these ratings look like in the middle of the run and towards the end of the run, because that will really determine whether it comes back for season 5 or not.
Yeah, I guess, like you said, we'll see, you know, as the weeks progress, if people stick with it. And if they stick with it and it stays around this number, I definitely see it having another season, given how NBC is with their other shows and the ratings, and like 30 Rock's gone, and they're going to have a lot of holes in their schedule. So Community might, you know, stick around if it can stay at this level. But if it dips, because it's not doing great by any means, but if it dips, it's definitely going to be in, like, cancellation territory.
True, but it's been like that for, like, 2-3 seasons now. So
yeah, used to, for pretty much the whole time it's on.
Yeah, we're all used to it by now.
Yeah. So what TV are you looking forward to in this coming week?
At this point, pretty much every show has premiered or debuted. And the only show I think that's left, at least on broadcast TV, is ABC's Zero Hour. And I'm actually kind of excited to watch the show, even though it's already doomed because it's on Thursday nights at 8, which has been a problematic time slot for ABC. So it's occupying the same space as Last Resort and Charlie's Angels and that one show with what's her name? Yeah. Missing. There we go. Missing.
Oh, okay.
And much like Last Resort, I think tonally it's just going to be off compared to that rest of that night because a conspiracy about clocks and Nazis doesn't seem to strike the same interest in the demographic that watches Grey's Anatomy and Scandal. So that's why I think that it's probably going to not do as well as it probably should. But the reason why it won't do well on ABC is the exact reason why I want to watch it. Because I like conspiracy stories, even though movies like Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons weren't great. Those are still fun to watch, and I think that's one of the reasons why I'm going to give it a shot. And it also has Cappy from Greek, which was a show I really enjoyed. Scott Michael Foster, I believe his name is. He's a supporting character, so I want to support him as well. So I don't have high expectations for Zero Hour. Like I said, I'm already expecting it to be low rated and probably canceled at the end of the year. But I'll definitely be tuning in, even though it's already on Hulu. So, it's something that, you know, for those who might not know if it's their cup of tea and don't have time to dedicate on a Thursday night to watch it, but you're kind of interested, go on Hulu. It's going to be on for the next couple of days and check it out that way.
You know, I actually might check out this show, especially since you mentioned it's on Hulu, because I read an article, I think it might have been from, like, Maureen Ryan, the TV critic over at Huffington Post, I'm not sure, but it was basically how Zero Hour is the best, worst show ever. And that's kind of my cup of tea, that, like, the so bad it's good type stuff. Like, I love those types of movies, the B movies, sci-fi movies. So having that kind of press probably normally isn't very good, but for me to hear that it's a great bad show makes me want to at least watch the first episode.
Interesting.
But yeah, so I guess that pretty much wraps up the episode. You can follow Invasion Radio on Twitter at Invasion Radio and Screen Invasion at Screen Invasion, as well as me personally at Crystal_Bailey.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Papa's 2 Cents.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.